Usually I tell you we have a scripture that we're going to be out of, and we're going to be out of the scriptures today, but I had a conversation with one of you all this last week that really caused me to think, and this last Tuesday I was in prayer with the Lord, and the Lord revealed something to me that I want to share with you. You see, last week we talked about how scary it can be to follow God when he directs the leadership to take the people in a direction that we're just not comfortable with, right? Or a direction that doesn't make sense to us. Nobody likes that. Nobody likes, like, where are you going with this? This doesn't seem right. It's not intuitive. And we studied out in Numbers. In Numbers 21, verse 4, it says, "Then they set out from Mount Hor by the way of the Red Sea to go around the land of Edom, and the people became impatient because of the journey." And this was to tell us that here were the people of God. They were right next to the promised land where they were supposed to go. They've been cruising through the wilderness. We're ready to get there. Then they get right there. They can see it. It's a stone's throw away. We just got to kind of take a step. But if you look at a map of what God has them do, like they're up here on the top. See where Hormah is right there, that little arrow? Like they're right there. They just got to kind of jump and they're there. And God says, no, turn around. I'm going to have you go all the way south down here. And then you're going to go up and around all of this other stuff. And then you're going to come in from the north. This is ridiculous. It's like, why would you have me do that, God? It's right there. Why do you want us to go in this other direction? And the truth is, most of us don't look forward to going around the block to get next door, right? Like, that's not a thing a lot of us like to do. Something that maybe some of us do by nature, we shouldn't, right? But going around the block to get next door is not an efficient way to do anything, is it? And so if God asks us to do that, or if your leaders tell you, if you've been work and your boss says, hey, this is how I want you to do it, and you're like, oh my goodness, this dude's making me do it the hard way. I could get it done half the time if he just listened to me. Like, it's frustrating, isn't it? I see some heads nodding out there. Some of y'all have jobs, right? Because that's what happens. You're like, I don't know. They don't know. But in the case of Moses and the Israelites, that's exactly what God did. Instead of taking them north, right in the promised land, he turns himself towards the Red Sea and then all the way around the land of Eden to the promised land from the north. And the people became impatient because they did not like the direction that Moses was taking them. Even though Moses was simply taking them in the direction that God had commanded them to take. Like, I'm just doing what God told me. And sometimes we struggle with the direction that we're being led when it doesn't make sense. And we can, all of us, get quickly frustrated when it seems like all we're doing is randomly walking around the wilderness. Like we're not getting anything done. We don't want to have our time wasted. None of us do. We especially don't want our time wasted in matters of Christian faith and the church. And listen, if you feel that way, that's fair. That's absolutely fair to not want to have your time wasted. So I want to begin actually by apologizing to you. Write this down, mark the time. You see, here's the thing, and this is true, we all know this. I can get so caught up in pushing the people to go where God is calling us that I don't stop to share the mission or the vision that God has brought to me. I'm just like, we gotta go, just follow me, just trust me, we're gonna go. And I feel like, I know that I often leave you all in the dark, feeling like we're wandering aimlessly through the wilderness, and it's not fair to you. And I really am sorry for that. I genuinely am sorry that I do that. As your lead pastor, I'm called to cast this vision that God has for us and to equip you, to encourage you, to lead you towards that vision, right? But too often, I simply act as if I just need you to read my mind. And I've asked some of you, like, if y'all could just read my mind, this would be a whole lot easier. Like, if you just knew where I was going and kind of just, it'd be great. Like, if you're, I can't be the only person who feels that way. Is there anybody else? All right, thank you, Beth, thank you, Brendan. At least I got a couple of people make me feel like I'm not entirely on my own here, right? If you could just read my mind, right, it would be so much easier. And just know that what I'm doing is going to be okay. And my kids are back there going, oh my goodness, this is our everyday life. So y'all should pray for my kids. Y'all get to go home. They're stuck with me. Sienna's like counting the minutes to get out the door. She's got the blocks from track. She took them. She stole them from Pacheco High School. Somebody turned her in. And she's got them at the door aiming to run out as soon as she graduates. You ain't leaving me. I'm coming with you. Hey, okay, but look, I get it. It's not my intention to do this. But I know that it comes off that way. And this is important to kind of touch on because Proverbs reminds us, right? Where there's no vision, the people are unrestrained. We have to have a vision in what we're doing. But happy is he who keeps the law. So if we don't have a vision, we just kind of have chaos. And we just kind of walk around and just do things randomly. And it feels like we're wasting our time. And nobody likes that. I don't like that. And so what I want to do today is I want to share with you the vision that God has brought to myself, to Pastor Martin, for the church body of Mercy Springs. And I want to let you know that also this evening when we go to the Celebrating the Goodness of God up in Oakdale, Pastor Martin is actually going to share the pastoral report for Mercy Springs, and he's going to tell them a little bit about our mission and the vision that God has for us here. So let me explain a bit about what a vision is. A vision, like the way I'm going to share with you, it's simply this big goal that I feel like God has for us. Okay, God, where are you taking it? What is the big thing that we're going to do? And it's a goal that may take generations to attain. It may not happen in my lifetime. It may not happen in your lifetime, but it's the goal that God has for this church that we should be aiming for. It may not even happen until the return of Christ, but it is the main goal. And what a vision does is it focuses on the future, on where it is that we're going. For the Israelites, that vision was the promised land and the things that God was going to do through them in that promised land to make them a holy nation, a priesthood, a royal priesthood. For us, that vision is a little bit different. Our vision here is to practice Christ-like discipleship so that through our day-to-day lives, we actively form los baños into a community that reflects the kingdom of God. That's the vision that I feel like God has for this church. That's who we are. That's what makes us distinct from some of the other churches that God gives different visions for. Our purpose here, the reason Mercy Springs exists overall, so that we can practice Christ-like discipleship, so that through our day-to-day lives, we actively form this community into one that reflects the kingdom of God. That's it. And so everything that we do needs to be centered around this vision that God has for us. And by itself, it probably makes sense, but it also does need some unpacking so that it can be this guiding directive that we have in our ministry. So let's go through this just a little bit. So first, this first part is to practice Christ-like discipleship. What does that mean, right? I mean, we hear that word a lot in the church, and we use it a lot. But like Diego Montoya said, you know, you keep using that word. I don't think that word means what you think it means, right? Like, we use discipleship a lot. I'm a disciple, and we're going to practice discipleship, and I want to be discipled. And we use it in so many different ways. I'm not sure we actually know what that means. So we're going to kind of simplify it, because this word should be important to us. After all, it's something that Jesus himself commands us to do. In fact, in Matthew 28, it says that Jesus came up, speaks to his disciples, and he says, okay, all authority has been given to me in heaven and on earth. Go, therefore, and make disciples. So Jesus, for those who don't know, right, Jesus is pretty important to us, right? Like, Jesus is the boss. If Jesus says it, it should matter. And he says, here's what I want you to do. Go, therefore, and make Christians. No. Go, therefore, and make Nazarenes. No, he doesn't even say, go therefore and make tacos, although that would have been awesome. I'm just saying more people would attend church, wouldn't they? He says, go therefore and make disciples. Go make disciples of all the nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. And a disciple is simply a person who is studying and following someone or something for the sake of becoming like them and then applying what they've learned and experienced. It's knowledge, experience, and practice towards this goal of being like another. So that's what it is. I'm going to practice this thing. I'm going to gain knowledge, experience, in order to be like another person. And we have disciples all over this world. This world is full of disciples. But many times they're disciples of a pastor or disciples of a theologian, or even disciples of a denomination, rather than disciples of Christ. And this is something that we need to understand as a church. We are not called to make disciples of the Nazarene church. We are not called to make disciples of Pastor Raul. We're not called to make disciples of John Wesley or John Calvin, or even disciples of Billy Graham. We are called to make disciples of no one other than Jesus Christ. That is who we are to be. And the only way for us to do that is to regularly attend and participate in the local church studies and gatherings. That's how we do that. And we know this because it's the example that we see throughout the scriptures. It says in Acts when about 3,000 people who'd already studied, they already knew about God and his law, when they were converted into followers of Jesus Christ, the scriptures say that they were continually devoting themselves to the apostles' teaching and fellowship and to the breaking of bread and to prayer. Do you get that? They were devoted. You know what it means to be devoted? It doesn't mean like they were doing it once in a while, or yeah, they thought it was a good idea, or yeah, they definitely voted yes on all those measures. It meant they were devoted. They were on this. This is who we are. I am devoted to this thing. I am all about it. I am there to the teaching and to the fellowship. So we have to be devoted to the teachings within the church and to the fellowship within the church. We need to attend the Sunday schools. We also need to attend the potlucks. I feel like the latter should go without saying, but hey, right? We have to be devoted to these things, to the breaking of bread and to prayer. If we are to be disciples of Jesus Christ, we, every one of us, needs to be devoted to these things. And all of these are requirements of being a disciple of Christ without exception. Well, are you a Christian? Yes. That's wonderful. If you consider yourself a Christian, that is absolutely wonderful. That means that you have this confession of hope, right? Like, I have a confession of hope in Christ. But consider what Hebrews teaches us about that confession of hope. It says, let us hold fast to the confession of our hope without wavering. Like, hang on to that, right? Your salvation, your hope in Christ, hang on to that. Don't let that waver. For he who promised is faithful. And let us consider, so even reimagine, come up with new ways to do this, how to stimulate one another. Do you see where he's pointing out? How to be stimulated, how to stimulate one another. It's reciprocal. And if it's reciprocal, that means that it takes at least a couple of us to make this happen. I have to pour into you, you have to pour into me. But if I'm sitting at home as a couch potato, being like a TV evangelist watching that, I'm not pouring into anybody. I'm not doing what God has called us to do. You have to be a part of a body that can feed back into you, that you can feed at, that you can come back. We talk about iron sharpening iron, and we're like, yeah, that sounds wonderful, so long as it doesn't mess with me too much. To love and to good deeds, not forsaking our own assembling together. For those who don't know what assembling together means, it means assembling together. Right? Did I explain that enough? Like, this is what we're called to do. Don't forsake this. Don't stop doing this. This gathering matters, absolutely. As is in the habit of some. The good news is we're all here who are here. Let's not get in the habit of some who, I don't need the gathering. It's not my thing, I'm out. And I get it. Look, COVID was rough on all of us. It was rough on me. And I'm going to confess that it wasn't for the fact that I'm required to be here on account I'm the pastor. Maybe I might have been that person also who said, you know what, it works fine from home. But here's the reality. It doesn't. It does not work fine from home. You have to have a community. You have to have a body. The church literally means the assembled people, and we're called to assemble together. But instead, encourage one another. How can I encourage you if I don't see you? Be there for each other. And all the more as you see the day drawing near. The main objective of this church is to practice Christ-like discipleship. So we study, we learn about Jesus because we can't be like somebody we don't know. And if we fail to study as a community, here's what happens. We will begin to envision Jesus in our own image rather than allow him to change ours into his. And I see this all the time, and it breaks my heart. People say, I read the Bible, I don't need you to tell me. I know I have the Bible, and that's all I need. And that sounds wonderful, it sounds great, it sounds like something we should defend. But even the Bible teaches us that you can't do it just by reading this word. And it isn't, well, I have the word and the Holy Spirit. Nowhere in the Bible does it teach that, nowhere. What it says is you need this word and you need the people. Because if you reject the people helping you learn, you're rejecting the Bible and the Holy Spirit. You have neither. We need each other to do this. And so we worship together as a community so that we can hold each other accountable rather than saying, I know what it says. And when I do this on my own and the Holy Spirit, what happens every single time is that I make Jesus into my image. Well, this is what the Bible says, and I know it, and you can't change my mind. This is what I believe, and you can't change my mind. That's the problem. It's your mind, not God's. Excuse me. We worship through intentional liturgy because it causes us to develop Christ-like habits that we use in our daily lives. And it's only through the communal worshiping and gathering that these skills can be learned and strengthened within us so that way we can clothe ourselves with our Lord Jesus Christ. What we do in worship, this is like a microcosm, like a practice of what it is that we're supposed to do out in the world. We gather here to practice being like kingdom people of God together. As an exercise, when we go into the world, it becomes second nature to us. The breaking of the bread, so that we learn to be communal out there. The gathering, the praising, the confessing, all of this here for the sake of doing it out there. That's the purpose of our gathering. And these acts that we practice here, they're meant to affect us out there. Which leads to this next statement, so that we do this so that through our day-to-day lives. So we practice Christ-like discipleship. Why? So that through our day-to-day lives. In Matthew, Jesus says, go therefore, make disciples of all the nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, the Holy Spirit. This word go is kind of a perpetual. It means do it as you live. It doesn't mean go take 5 minutes, go out, make some disciples, and go about your life. It means go as you live, as you're walking, as you're breathing, as everything in your life, this is what you're doing. Your regular life, this is your go. When you're trying to get over the hill and trying not to lose your Jesus like some of us do, that's your go, right? We've all been there. Don't judge me, right? When you're just trying to go through Walmart trying to figure out which line is open, that's your go. When you're in the school parking lot thinking, why do people forget how to drive in a school parking lot? That's your go. I have some issues. Can you tell? I'm working through them right now. You guys are cheaper than therapy. Okay. Your everyday life, that's your go. That's it. And so as you do that, make disciples of the nations. Nothing you do in life, listen to me. This is true for you. I want you to understand this. Nothing that you do in life is mundane, nor is it simply secular. Everything that you do is to be a part of what God is doing. That's why Paul says in Romans 12, therefore I urge you, brethren, by the mercies of God, present your bodies as a living and holy sacrifice acceptable to God, which is your spiritual service of worship. In other words, give him your life, everything that you do, every day when you go out and you're doing electrical or tile or whatever it is in this world that you do it as a sacrifice to God. This is my go. Your entire being, everything that you are and do, needs to be given up to God so that your very life pattern is one that reflects Jesus back into the world around you. And this isn't a new concept. This is the idea of teaching and living out holiness to God that he gave all the way to the Israelites from the very beginning. That's why in Deuteronomy, in the Shema, in a prayer that was so important to them that even Jesus recites it, he says, hear, O Israel, the Lord our God, the Lord is one. You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your might. These words which I'm commanding you today shall be on your heart. Do you see this? Like everything that you are, with everything, not just like when I go to church, I love God, or this part of me loves God. Everything, every cell in your body, every atom that makes you up, every thought that you are, your very essence is God's. It needs to be given to God, and you love him with all of this. And everything that he is and directs should be on your heart. It should be what drives you. With all that you are intentionally grafting God into your very soul. And then he says, you shall teach them diligently to your sons and shall talk of them when you sit in your house and when you walk by the way and when you lie down and when you rise up. You shall bind them as a sign on your hand. There shall be as frontals on your forehead. Write them on the doorposts of your house, on your gates, when you're driving down the road, when you're at Walmart, wherever it is, everything that you do, be teaching this and living this. This is key. This is central. This is who we're supposed to be. So let me tell you something. While we are here in Los Baños, we are to live out our lives in a way that will bless this community. To have everyday conversations with our family, with our neighbors, and reflect this God in all that we do. And that brings us to this next part of the vision, to practice Christ-like disciples so that through our day-to-day lives, we actively form Los Baños into a community that reflects the kingdom of God. Because what we do inside of this building as a church absolutely needs to affect the community that surrounds us. Because if it's not, we're wasting perfectly good real estate that somebody else could use. We know that this world is not the way God wants it to be. It doesn't take a rocket scientist to figure that out. And that until Christ actually returns, we're going to be like Israel in the wilderness or in exile waiting to be brought home. But during this season, during this time of being the already not yet, knowing that Christ has already come and given us salvation, but he has not yet returned to fully establish his kingdom. In that time, during this season, while we are in exile, we should consider what God told the Israelites through the prophet Jeremiah. When they're being sent somewhere else and they're waiting something new, and God tells them, look, I don't want you to hang around and just ignore them and wait and forget that world because one day it's going to burn. It doesn't matter. This isn't God's kingdom. Like so many Christians say, it doesn't matter. God's going to burn it. Let it go. It's not our problem. Instead, he says, build houses. Live in them. In other words, be a part of the community. You're here in Los Baños. You're here in the world. Be a part of the community. Plant gardens. Eat their produce. Take wives. Become the fathers of sons and daughters. And take wives for your son. Give your daughters to husband that they may bear sons and daughters. Have family in your community. Look to the future in your community so that they may bear sons and daughters and multiply there and do not decrease. Seek the welfare of the city where I have sent you into exile. Do you hear what he's saying? Seek the welfare of the city where I have sent you into exile. The people, the absolute community. For in its welfare, you'll have welfare. You see, what we do here matters, and it should affect them, and hopefully we change this world outside of us, because as we change this world outside of us, it even makes our lives better. We are connected to this community. There is no such thing, this notion of the secular and the religious, and we got to separate them. That's an extra biblical idea. We are intertied with the community. We are a part of the community, and we are responsible to try to bless this community and to make this a better community. So while we're here in Los Baños, we are to live out our lives in a way that blesses the community. Not by separating our religion from what we call secular, but rather by recognizing that our religion and our faith cannot be separated from our politic, which is simply our lives as part of this community. And nor does God want it separated in such a way. So we're to practice being like Jesus here as a body, so we can then reflect his image back into the community around us, and intentionally through our service to the city of Los Baños, help to form this community into one that reflects the image of God back into the world around us. Can you imagine that? Can you imagine what that would look like? Like if we start to form Los Baños, so the rest of the world, so the county looks at Los Baños and says, man, that place looks different. The way the people care for each other, it's odd. The way they look out for each other and lift each other up and try to make things better. The way they practice being neighbors, like they actually love each other and are concerned for each person's well-being. If we were to be that city, man, that might change into the county. And change into the state and the nation, into the world. And look, I get it, that's a big old world and we're a small little community. We're a small little church in our small little community. But that's where we're going. That's what we are called to do. That's our vision, to be those people. And so what we do here matters. And so our vision, quite simply, to restate it, is to practice Christ-like discipleship so that through our day-to-day lives, we actively form Los Baños into a community that reflects the kingdom of God. And of course, I got some of the scriptures on there that are referenced to do this. But this is what we're called to do. Everything we do as a church must be for the sake of this vision. This is our long-term goal. And right now, In this period, we do that by engaging in our mission. The Israelites had this vision of getting into the promised land, but their mission wasn't what they thought. They're like, your mission now is to go south and go around the Edomites. What? It'll make sense if you understand the vision that we're going to go around and we're going to change all of this and kind of see what's happening there. Right now, we do this by engaging in our mission. And the difference between a vision and a mission is the mission focuses on today and what this organization does to achieve that vision. It's the current direction towards the vision. And so for us at Mercy Springs, the mission is to develop disciples by reaching out and gathering people in through loving service to our communities and God. So that's what we do right now. This mission is the direction that God has us on right now. And in a community like Los Baños, like you look at the community and recognize, if I really want to do this, I have to understand some stuff. I have to understand what's happening, right? I can't just get on a road and drive somewhere if I don't know what kind of a road it is or what it's going to look like or the you know, how much traffic is on it. We're getting spoiled by Google anymore because I don't have to worry about traffic or anything like that. But if you drive with Mark, he ignores Google. He's just like, it's 5 o'clock. I know that there's traffic over here and this here. I'm going to start taking this road over here. This road's under construction. I'm going to take that one. I used to take that one, but it's way too bumpy. And I don't want to buy new tires on my truck, so I take this one. Driving with Mark is just, it's an experience in exhaustion and coming close to Jesus. I know how Kathy feels when she drives with me. Yeah, like that. So, right? But I say that to say, like, Mark thinks about all these things. And we all do in so many different ways. We think about all the details, right, of what's going to matter and how to change it. In a community like Los Baños, we look at our community, we recognize we're not the same as every other community. Los Baños, it looks a whole lot different than some town in Nebraska. I guarantee it. It looks a lot different than even L.A. or Sacramento. We're Los Baños. So in a community like Los Baños, it meant that we had to unify two churches into one. Why did we do this? Because that was the mission. It was necessary to accomplish the vision that God has for us. How can we reach a community that's 76% Latino if we are not even united in a church? Well, we can't. I know. So this mission is a requirement of the vision. It means having bilingual services so that all of our diversities can be brought together into one house of God and emulate the kingdoms and all the nations that he describes throughout the scriptures. It means forming small home discipleship groups so we can have personal care and encouragement of one another. It means offering things like the immigration services that we offer here. Or opening the church building as a cooling zone for neighbors who can't afford to or simply don't have access to get out of the sun during our crazy summers. It does mean opening the church to the local 4-H so that they can come in and have our youth here. It means helping our community. It means opening the baseball field as a place for kids to come and be coached in a safe place. It means a lot of the things that we've done. It means so many things that we're called to do and we're going to be called to do so that we can move towards this huge and holy vision that God has for us here at Mercy Springs. And so everything that we do is going to be filtered through that vision. I'm going to invite the team to come back up. I cut them off short earlier because I'm long-winded. Amen, amen, he says.
I was trying not to say anything, and he did it.
Oh, I love you, Chris. As I said earlier, this evening, Pastor Martin is going to share our mission and our vision with ourselves. And we're excited to share and to celebrate the goodness of God and all that he has done here and all that he is doing here and all that he is going to do right here at Mercy Springs Church of the Nazarene. And I hope that helps. I hope that helps us to understand that we do have a purpose, that I know I come off as a flake who just kind of randomly does things, and to be fair, sometimes I do. But this will help hold us all accountable. So you can say, hey, Pastor, how does this fit with the vision? That's a fair question. Hey, Pastor, how does this fit with the mission? That's a fair question. And I want to encourage you to ask yourself, how does it do this? And what can we be doing? I want you to participate even with the divine imagination and say, what are new ways that we can learn how to encourage each other? And be open to these new things. I'm going to pray. Father, I love you. I thank you. I pray that as we seek you, as we seek to follow you, we do so with great joy, knowing that you've already got control at the end. That you allow us to participate with you, and you call us to do this amazing thing, to be these amazing instruments that reflect your image back into our community. So help us to be those people, to be Christ-like disciples, Father, who serve you in such a way that our day-to-day lives reflect you into Los Baños, that would help to form this community, be a part of this community as it moves towards becoming like the kingdom of God, reflecting your love and your beauty and your holiness into all the world around us. Bless us and anoint us and fill us. I pray this in the name of Christ. Amen.